The following program is sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.
Today's show is provided for entertainment and general information purposes. Opinions expressed are those of the presenter only. We make no promises or guarantees of investment performance. Online Trading Academy is not a broker-dealer, certified financial planner, or registered investment advisor. Online Trading Academy is the world's most trusted name in professional trader and investor education. Enjoy the show. Hello, future traders and investors, and welcome to Power Trading Radio, or I should say this very special What the Hell Just Happened episode of Power Trading Radio. I'm in studio today with my co-host and good friend Matthew McGrath. Welcome, by the way, Matt.
Thank you, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm Christopher Crum, and the host of the show. Hey, listen, if this is your first time listening to Power Trading Radio, I should mention that this show is fueled by a company called Online Trading Academy. And Online Trading Academy, for the past almost 21 years, has been teaching people how to trade and invest in the financial markets and how to make money doing it. That's kind of the idea behind trading and investing. So trading, by the way, is the act of simply it's frequent buying and selling in the financial markets. So you're doing it daily, weekly, monthly. And, of course, we know how to make money when we're buying and selling stuff, don't we, Matt?
We want to buy low and sell high.
I have food in my mouth. I keep hoping we're going to talk a little bit longer so I can get rid of it.
Well, you could sell short high and buy to cover low.
Okay, yeah. Let's confuse everybody so they switch the channel right now. But it's frequent buying and selling, so you're doing it daily, weekly, monthly. And if you do it with enough frequency and if you're profitable, then, of course, you can do it to replace or supplement your income. You know, there are some people in this world that actually like their job. They like going back and forth to work, and they found their calling in life, and they really enjoy their career. But you know what? Let's face it. Sometimes your dream job just doesn't pay as much money as you'd like right now. And so I'm trying to chew this food. So, you know, some people don't want to leave their job. That school teacher that loves her job teaching grade schoolers, feels passionate about her position and what she's her contribution to society, and she doesn't want to leave that job. The minister that loves going to the pulpit and serving his parishioners every Sunday and the funerals and the weddings and the baptisms,
right?
You know, they're not going to leave their job ever. But, you know, let's face it, sometimes, again, your dream job doesn't pay the kind of money that you'd like. And so a lot of students come to the academy to learn to trade the financial markets, and they can supplement their income.
Yeah.
So they can go on that, you know, one time a year dream vacation, five-star vacation, or maybe they can drive that Mercedes that they've always dreamt about, that Tesla that they shot into space last week.
Right.
They can get one of those, a duplicate
that
of that. It was really cool. You know, or live in the house that they want to live in. Put their kids through college, you know, with the profits that they make from trading, so there are no student loans for those kids. So people show up at the academy because they want to supplement their income. That's their goal. And then others, though, well, they're sick and tired of their job.
Yeah.
Maybe they chose the wrong career path to begin with. They've always been going back to forth, back and forth to work in that rut like a silly, sick, caged lion, and they want to do something better for themselves, and they just want a different lifestyle. You know, when I turned 40, I came to the conclusion that, you know, a lot of people are just going back and forth to work, and they're trading their most, valuable asset, which is their time they have left on this earth, and they're just trading it for a paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a great way to go through this life. You get one shot at it. So why not live the life that you want to live? Why not do the things that you want to do moment by moment? Each moment only comes once. And so we have students that come to the academy because they'd like to retire from their current position and trade full-time for a living. And how many scores of students, we've had hundreds of thousands of students go through our 45 facilities across the United States and abroad. I mean, how many students do you think over the years we've impacted their lives in a way so they could manage their own schedule? They can go to their kids or their grandkids' baseball game and not have to feel guilty about it, not have to take personal time off of work to go to their kids' high school graduation. You know, they don't have to sit there on a holiday on Christmas Eve because their boss says, hey, I'm paying you for your time. And they have the flexibility to be able to make as much money as they want. It's unlimited earning potential.
Right.
You're not satisfied with the amount of money you make. Well, give yourself a freaking raise, you know, and place another trade today.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I mean, yeah, it's very exciting. So people show up at the academy because they want to change their lives, their financial outlook in life. We live in the greatest country in the world. Why not do it? It's the one country in the world where you can achieve financial independence. You can go from rags to riches. That's what I did. That's what Matt McGrath did. And we learned how to do it at Online Trading Academy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other students, though, they're more concerned about their long-term outlook. And I think, you know, way back in the day when I took over the academy and I was, you know, our average student, I think they were in their 60s. Don't
66
you,
years old.
On average. And it was these were people that just didn't do a good job of, first of all, planning for the fact that one day they're not going to have a job and they're going to need to exist on the money that they've built up over the years. They're not financially independent. And so they had to come to the academy to look for another, I guess, solution to this problem that I'm over 65 years old. My employer doesn't want me to work there anymore. And now I need to be self-sufficient.
Yeah. Many of you may have seen that E-Trade commercial they did on the Super Bowl last weekend.
I did.
Did you notice that one where a third of people who are retired in this country right now
yep.
have no retirement savings?
Right. Right.
I mean, that's just unbelievable.
And E-Trade is trying to pull on those heartstrings because they want you to sign up for an account. But let me tell you something. Signing up for an E-Trade account and putting money in that account doesn't mean you know how to navigate the financial markets. The financial markets are risky. They're complex. And, you know, the propaganda that you hear on the news, we're going to talk about that in the second segment. We'll talk about what happened in the Dow Jones Industrial Average in the Dow Jones last week. You know, and then the stuff they tell you on the news is contrary to what's really to reality.
Exactly.
It's not the truth. Wall Street wants you to remain uneducated. You're going to hear me say that during the commercial break, but it's true, because when the Dow Jones Industrial Average drops by 1,000 points in one day, Wall Street cleans up. I mean,
right.
That was a very profitable day for them.
That's exactly what happened.
And people that know the financial markets, they know how to navigate the markets, they cleaned up too. Well, anyway, that's what we do at the Academy. We teach people how to trade the markets if they want to replace or supplement their income, and also how to invest in the financial markets. And hey, maybe that's you. Maybe you could see yourself enjoying the freedom of being a trader, having your own little trading business at home. And freedom of schedule, unlimited earning potential, or maybe you could just see yourself managing your long-term investments and managing that risk while you create exceptional returns in the financial markets. You know what? If you have an interest, you should check us out on the World Wide Web. It's tradingacademy.com. That's T-R-A-D as in Dan, tradingacademy.com. It's all one word. And it's a very comprehensive website. We invite you to go out there and take a look. You know, kind of sniff around out there, see if there's some things of interest of you. There's some great education on that website.
Yeah, free education.
There's a financial education center on that website that you can get into and check it out. But just check us out on the web. It's tradingacademy.com, and it's all one word. Hey, I think we've got a great show for you today. I'm excited about it. Are you, Matt?
I am, too. Interesting stuff going on in the markets right now.
Very interesting stuff going on in the markets. But you know what? We're coming up on a break here, and in a moment, we're going to have to pause for station identification. Hey, we got Matt Roberts in the production booth today. He's flying the plane for us. I'm Christopher Crum, and on behalf of my co-host, Matt McGrath, we'll be right back. Well, if you're a little confused about what you're doing right now, well, you're listening to Power Trading Radio with Christopher Crum and
Matt McGrath.
Well, perhaps the finest co-host in the history of radio broadcasting is in the studio today with me, and his name is Matthew McGrath.
Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, you're welcome. You know, I'm just trying to lift you up a little bit. So, you know, I started the show with what the hell just happened? And, you know, last week it was on Monday that the Dow took a dip.
Yeah.
And it was a big one. It was record.
I mean, in terms of actual points, it was 1175.
For one day, yeah.
Yeah.
1175.
Wasn't the highest percentage, but it was the greatest amount in terms of points that it went down.
So on Tuesday, I was at the Academy, and we were doing a workshop there that day. And then I had a thing that I needed to do with our core strategy students. But I had the TV on in my office, and I was watching, I think it was CNBC. And oh my gosh, the sky was falling, you know? I mean, these guys were preaching that this is a permanent thing, that it was a correction in the market, that it's never going to go back up, and this is, you know, awful, and what's going to happen. And of course, you know, these news channels, they like to sensationalize things.
Right.
And what they're telling you isn't necessarily the truth. And they're speculating on all these different reasons for why the Dow took this dip, why it dropped. Well, a correction, by the way, and maybe you'll take a minute and define what a correction is.
Yeah, it's just when the market falls 10%, whereas a crash is something like we saw in 2008 where it fell 39%. But we did get close. We got close to 9% before it rebounded. So officially, it was not a correction.
You know, in theory, if you're looking at stocks, for example, you can do a fundamental analysis of these stocks. And that's when you're taking a look at the company financials and you're trying to determine the earnings per share type ratios. And you're trying to determine the true value of right. what it is, because oftentimes price is either inflated or it's deflated. It's actually selling for lower than what it's worth.
Right.
And so you're trying to assign a value to it that we believe is based on facts,
yeah.
I guess, if you will. And so when a correction happens, what Wall Street's telling you is that, well, everything's overinflated. The price has gone up because of speculation. The price has gone up because there's been more buyers buying than sellers selling. And so because of an imbalance of supply and demand, it's gone up, but it's overinflated. And so people have been buying it not at the true value. They've
right.
been buying it for higher than what it's actually worth.
Sure.
And, you know, if it gets too high, then it becomes less, it becomes more than artificial. It becomes something called a bubble.
Right.
And a bubble, as you know, if you've ever blown soap bubbles with your kids or as a kid or with your grandkids, then you know that they're going to burst.
Right.
And that's what happens. And they were speculating that we've been sitting on this bubble. They even said the word bubble
right.
on the news channel. So, you know, are we sitting on a bubble? And I don't think so. I think prices have been going up, and it's caused because of imbalances of supply and demand. And by the way, if you were a student at Online Trading Academy, we would tell you the secret. The secret sauce is that supply and demand moves price.
Sure. And everything, not just the market.
Don't tell anyone. But supply and demand moves the price. Imbalances of supply and demand causes price to turn on a chart. So if there's more demand than supply, suddenly, what's going to happen to price, Matt?
It has to go up.
It has to go up. And if there's more supply than demand, then price has to go down. That's what causes these prices to move. It's not rocket science. You guys learned about this in sixth grade, didn't you? I bet. You know what? I've got a third grader at home that learned that. He's fourth grader now. That learned that in third grade. And kids today know that if there's an imbalance of supply and demand, the price is going to change on a commodity or whatever it is in a market.
Sure.
You know, an example of that, I had a good friend. His name's Paul. And Paul was my boss at one point in time. And, you know, Paul was always looking for another way to make money. So he liked to buy and sell things on eBay. And he was out surfing eBay one day. This is back in 2002 or 2001. And he ran across this sale that occurred, and it was Iraqi playing cards.
Oh, I remember that. Right.
And so he's like, and this deck of cards sold for $2,200 on eBay.
Right.
And the story behind the cards was when we went to war with Iraq, that the U.S. government thought it would be a cool idea to print up these playing cards. And they would put pictures of the most wanted Iraqis. Saddam Hussein was the ace of spades,
right.
by the way. And that as these guys played cards, they would subconsciously memorize these faces. Well, so they thought this was a great idea, and they ended up printing up 100 decks before somebody nixed it and said, this is a stupid idea. So, you know, but they only printed or minted 100 decks.
Right.
Well, suddenly then, you know, there's low supply of these things. It's potentially collectible. And this person that managed to secure one of these decks, put it up on eBay, just at a penny auction, and let it go at auction for a week, and people bid it up. It was in demand, and so it caused the price to go up. They bid against each other. My friend Paul, he thought, well, this is a great idea. So he went and put his own ad out on eBay for the Iraqi playing cards, and his first one he sold it for $1,800. Now, he didn't have the deck, but he did have the wherewithal to contact a company that will do personalized playing cards, and he had them printed up. So he's selling these things left and right, and they started off at $1,800, but then, you know, other people caught on to the whole thing, and next thing you know, there's 100 ads for Iraqi
right.
playing cards out there. And in the end, he had a whole room of his house dedicated for inventory for these Iraqi playing cards.
Wow.
And in the end, he was selling them for $3, basically cost.
Wow, so how'd you like to be that guy who paid $1,800 for it on eBay?
Well, yeah, and it wasn't even the real deal, you know. But the bottom line is that supply and demand impact prices all of the time. And if there's a low supply of something that people want, then price is going to go up. If there's high demand for something, as long as it's a limited supply, it's going to go up. And we see it happen in the financial markets all of the time. That's what happened to the Dow Jones last week. It was people wanting to sell. More people wanting to sell the product than buy the product.
Yeah, and it wasn't just people that were selling. It was banks who use algorithms. I mean, I've heard so many reasons for what caused the market to go down during those 3 days. I've heard that earnings reports came out and they were not as good as expected. I've heard that the employment numbers were better than expected. And whenever that happens, everyone is afraid that the Fed's going to raise interest rates. And that's what caused it to go down. But you know what really caused it was the banks, before they ever place an order, they have a program that tells them when to sell it. And when the volatility index gets as high as it did those 3 days, that triggers the bank's programs to sell. And the banks make up over half the orders on Wall Street that are placed each day. So when the bank's programs are triggered to sell and they sell in that quantity, that's going to cause the market to go down. It had nothing to do with the fundamentals of the economy. The fundamentals of the economy are very sound. And that's why our strategy is so important, right? Because we're tagging along with the banks. They're the only ones that consistently make money in the markets. So half the battle is just identify where they are buying and selling, and with our money tagging along with their trades.
Right. You know, these banks and institutions, they make big moves. They can move the price in the markets. They have enough money. The top five, the largest banks collectively manage
over $9 trillion.
$9 trillion. And that's a lot of buying power. That's a lot of spending power that they can use. So, you know, they can create imbalances of supply and demand. They can go into a limit order and they can say, hey, look, I want to buy Sprint stock, for example, and I'm willing to pay, Sprint stock. I don't know what it's selling.
So it was $5.11 last time I checked, $5.11.
So I'll pay anywhere from $5 up to $8, and I'll place an order and I'll limit it to 70 million shares. So what's going to happen there is there's a limited number of sellers. I mean, not every share of Sprint is for sale today. A lot of people are invested in it. They want to hang on to it. So a lot of the shares that could be available are actually off the market. So the fewer, the small number of willing sellers that are selling at $5.11, you know, that company's going to go ahead and consume all of those shares.
Right.
And then the price is going to go up because they're willing to go higher in price. The bid price automatically
goes up. Yeah,
to
attract more willing sellers.
And so then more willing sellers come in, they consume those shares. And then the price goes up again and they consume those shares all the way up to $8 and it stops. That's what the limit order means. They're going to limit the number that they buy or limit the price that they'll pay for it. Once they get to the highest price, though, then they stop buying. Well, what's just happened? We've suddenly seen a sharp increase in the price of Sprint, right?
Yeah.
And so the entire retail trading community, there's 39 million people out there trying to trade their own accounts, and they're looking at the news. They're listening to what the reporters say. They're listening to Cramer on Mad Money. And everybody's going, oh, my gosh, do you see what's happening with Sprint? This is so exciting.
Right.
And then they get excited because they're trend traders. They've been taught to trade the trend. If the trend is my friend, if the price goes up, then this is the time to get in, right? There's confirmation that price is going up. So now it's time to get in.
Yeah, that's one of the most common mistakes that novice traders make.
And they jump on board and they keep driving the price up, which is exactly what these banks want them to do.
Right.
And then they'll start to trickle sell into this upward movement. They won't sell everything off at once. They'll just trickle into it until it kind of reaches what they believe is the peak. Then they'll put the rest of their shares out there. And then they'll turn around and do something called shorting the market, and they'll do a large short, which is, so now they're selling off a bunch of shares, which is going to drive the price down, but then they'll also short the market, which is borrowing shares from their brokerage. They want the price to go down. They can borrow this just for their standard brokerage fee. The price goes down, and their arrangement with the brokerage is that they have to buy to cover. In other words, they have to buy those shares back and return those shares to the brokerage. And there's an unlimited amount of time to do it. I mean, they don't have to do it tomorrow. They could do it a month from now.
Yeah.
But they drive the price down, and then they buy to cover. So what they just do, they just bought low and sold high and caused the price to go up, and then they sold high again on the short, and then they bought low when the price went back down.
Yeah, they're the ones that created the demand to begin with by buying as many shares as possible within that price range. And then again, as retail investors and trend traders get in on it, they sell those shares back to those investors. And that, by the way, is what's called an institutional trap.
Sure.
You'll see those every day when you're trading live.
And on the periphery of this, there's a lot of propaganda that they put out prior to making these moves. So they've got people on staff that are hired to convince the experts that are going to report the news that, hey, Sprint's going to go up. Sprint, it looks like it's poised to go up. Listen, all these cool things are happening at Sprint. That stock's going to go up. And then they go and make that move. Oh, my gosh. Everybody was right. Sprint's going up. I better buy into it, right?
Right.
And then they put out the negative propaganda. Hey, Sprint's going to go down. It's going to start going down because they want to create they want everybody to bail out of it and just drive the price down. It's supply and demand. That's the bottom line. That's what moves price in the markets.
Yeah, and, so, it's classic market manipulation.
If you want to say that price per earnings or an bad earnings report came out and that caused stock to go down, that's not what caused it to go down. That earnings report caused people that were holding that stock to get scared, which is a real emotion, by the way, and it has an influence on our decisions, and it caused them to say, hey, I'm getting the hell out of this thing, and sure. They jump off. Not like rats jumping off a sinking ship. Oftentimes, it's like rats jumping off a burning and sinking ship, right, Matt? So that's how it works, guys. That's what the hell just happened, right? Hey, we're going to pause for station identification real quick. I'm Christopher Crum in studio today with my good friend and co-host, Matt McGrath. We'll be right back. I had a student that pulled me aside. He was attending one of our workshops. You know, I give these workshops away.
Right.
You know, just to a handful of people that are listening to the show, just because, well, we want to reward you for listening to the show. And if you like the kind of stuff that Matt and I are talking about today, well, why not check it out and, you know, see if you're suited for it, see if it's something that you'd be interested in doing. And it's a learned skill. I mean, anybody can learn how to trade. It's not an easy skill to acquire. But if you're willing to go ahead and pursue it, you know, then you can learn how to do it, and you can be very good at it.
Definitely.
So this student approached me, and in the workshop, apparently, you know, as I was doing that workshop, I don't know, you know, because we try to simplify things in the workshop. You know, we have students that show up at these workshops that they've got 30 years experience, and they know every phrase, every part of the options market, for example. They know what a naked put is and a covered call. They know how to short sell the market. So they're good. They know it. They just don't have a strategy for, you know, they just can't put it all together. And so oftentimes not as profitable as they'd like to be. And then we have students that just don't know a stock from a stick.
Right.
So, you know, if you're going to attend a workshop, the last thing you want is for the speaker up there to sound like they're reading a prospectus from your mutual fund or 401k. You'd fall asleep in 10 minutes, right? So we try to use language that everybody's going to be, understand and enjoy. And, you know, we try and dumb it down. So this guy approached me and he goes, because I was talking about this is just buying and selling. You know, you buy low and sell high. And he said, if it's that easy, why doesn't everybody do it? And I'm like, okay, well, so you think it's a get-rich-quick scheme then. That's what you're telling me. Whenever I hear somebody say, why doesn't everybody do it?
Right.
I'm thinking, well, you think this is a get-rich-quick scheme. And it's not.
No, it's totally the opposite.
No, it's a job. I mean, you know, trading and investing, those are real jobs that real people do. It's just that we're teaching you how Wall Street does it so you can trade along with Wall Street.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of literally get rich quick, again, the strategy we teach, you're targeting $200 a day for every $5,000 that you have in your account. Now, to a lot of people, that may be get rich quick, but I don't think so. When I think of get rich quick, I think of someone who's thinking of investing their life savings or taking out a home equity line of credit to buy Bitcoin, right? Okay, that is a potential get rich quick scheme, right? So you're really banking on this taking off and you making millions of dollars, right?
Right.
In a short period of time. No, what we teach here is very steady, slow growth, but if you do leave your profits in the account when that doubles, you can now double your parameters.
Right.
And so you can make a lot of money, like the student we had on the show last week, Dan.
Yeah. Dan, and by the way, Dan emailed me again last week. And you know what? I'm not even going to talk about Dan because I think that when we talk about these six-figure numbers that people are pulling in monthly, that it just seems too unrealistic to people, you know?
Sure.
Most people can't fathom making an extra $2,000 a month, I think.
Right.
And an extra $2,000 a month would be a windfall for a lot of people.
Yeah, but he's a good example of, you know, he didn't get rich quick. I remember when he came here 3 years ago in June of 2015. He did not start with a very large account that he was trading from. But now it's 3 years later and he's making really good money. And again, it's because he's disciplined. He left most of his profits in his account. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I get that question all the time. When someone asks me, because I teach a lot of the workshops, is this get rich quick or sounds too good to be true? Why isn't everyone doing it? My first response is 270,000 people have. Right. I mean, you have to remember, not everyone is interested in trading, right?
Right.
I mean, even if it is a good source of income.
A lot of people have no interest.
Absolutely.
In learning that.
I mean, my entire family could go through this for free, and there's only one that has because the others just aren't interested in it. I mean, that's why, you know, you can make a lot of money being a radiologist. So why doesn't everybody do that?
Right. True. Well, or as an attorney.
They make $1 billion a
year. Or as a doctor.
Exactly. I mean, so to me, that's just a silly question to begin with. But 270,000 people have. And I mean, I can tell you because they email me all the time. I interface with them all the time. And we have very successful graduates. You know, we have these free meetup events on Tuesday nights at our location where the trainer stays after class to help our graduates. And just last Tuesday, one of my students grabbed me. He was coming to the meetup, and he had made $2,800 that day trading crude oil. And, you know, that's life-changing for him. I mean, he was just ecstatic. He never even thought that that was possible. But it's possible because he learned the skill set that we taught him at Online Trading Academy.
Right. You know, it takes some time to acquire the skill set. But quite frankly, you know, if you're listening to this and you're intrigued with it, not everybody should be doing it.
I mean, oh, no, I'll be the first to say that.
So why isn't everybody doing it? Well, not everybody should be. You know, I think, isn't there five red flags that you go through as students before we accept them?
Exactly.
Which are?
Well, one, you need to have basic computer skills, right? You don't need IT skills. I myself am horrible on the computer, but I can use a mouse and open and close windows and use the internet. In other words, I can use a computer. We have some students who come here that have literally never used a computer before, just last week.
They don't even know how to drive a mouse.
Exactly. I had a student who called me named Dan who came to the workshop who just loved it last week. He really wanted to enroll in our program, but he did not have any computer skills. So I told him that it was not a good fit for him, and he actually appreciated that I was up front with him. It doesn't work for anyone if you enroll in the program and you can't be successful at it. So we'll be the first person to tell you if it's not a good fit for you. So you have to have basic computer skills. You also need to have some money.
Right.
You know, you don't need a lot of money like the financial advisors on the radio shows who won't even see you unless you have $250,000.
$500,000
sometimes. But you do need to have at least $2,000, right?
Yeah.
If you have less than that, again, it's very improbable that you're going to make money. Like you could open a Forex account with $50 if you want to at some brokers, but you'd be eaten alive by what's called the spread. I mean, the odds are way against you.
Right.
But you really need to have at least $2,000.
Well, it is the business of buying and selling.
Yeah.
And you got to have money to buy your inventory with. If you think about it like you're opening a retail business, you want to buy it wholesale, sell it retail, you got to have money to buy your initial inventory, whether that's stocks,
right,
or it could be options, or it could be currency pairs, micro lots of currency pairs.
Sure. Futures.
Futures, which is what you like to do. So keep going.
Need to have the time to trade. You know, the strategy that we teach, we actually give you the written trade routine. But when you're new to this, it takes about 45 minutes to go through all the steps and have your trade set up. But you do need a distraction-free block of time where you can remain focused for 45 minutes, you know. And I do see some people that are working two jobs where it's not even possible. They don't have an hour each day to sit down and do this. So if you really don't have an hour to do it, then it's not a good fit either.
Well, you know, so I'm going to contradict you a little bit or challenge you a little bit on that, Matt, because the Forex market and the futures market, both of those markets are open 24 hours a day, 6 days
sure.
a week.
Yeah, but you have to sleep sometime. I mean, if you have two jobs where you're working during the day and night and then you come home and go to bed, I have seen some of those people in this world that we live in. There's people that work that many hours.
Man, if I was that person, then I would want to learn how to trade.
Oh, I agree
with
you.
For God's sakes.
I'd have done one of those jobs.
Probably working for minimum wage, you know, right. $15 an hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, I mean, wow. Yeah. I'd find that extra hour. I guarantee you I would find that
extra
hour.
Well, you and I are both very motivated, and I would do the same thing. You have to have some emotional discipline, right? Every study that's been done on trading has shown that that's the most important factor that determines whether you're successful. So I know at our location, when I teach the workshops, I actually deploy an emotional IQ test that tells us if there's any emotional red flags. Now, by the way, if you are emotional like you and I are, you can still trade, but your style of trading needs to be very different.
Right.
Someone who's emotional needs to be set and forget. That means we set our four trades up, walk away from it, wait till the end of the day to see how we did. So we don't make any emotional mistakes as we're watching those trades live throughout the day.
Yeah. You know, something I've noticed about you, and of course I think maybe you've noticed about me too, we share this in common, is that we're not only emotional beings. And you know what? I check my gut instinct, how I feel about decisions on every decision I make, but not in the financial markets. I follow a rule-based strategy, and I stick to that strategy and the rules. you confine yourself to that box of rules, then you're tilting the odds in your favor. But if I watch that trade, see, I'm not only emotional, but I'm competitive,
right,
too. And I'm the guy that went to Online Trading Academy to learn how to do this, that thought, I'm going to be the one guy in the world that's never, ever going to lose on a trade.
Right.
But we know that's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
It's not even a healthy way to manage your trading business with that attitude.
Right.
So you've got to have the rules, but you just change the way that you trade so that you don't feel greedy and you don't feel fearful and you don't get mad because you're losing on the trade, which is what I'm likely to do.
Exactly.
You know what, folks? We've got to pause here for station identification again. Man, that segment flew by, dude.
I mean,
it goes by too fast. I love doing this show so much that it is just a ton of fun. Thanks for listening today, by the way, guys. This is Power Trading Radio. Welcome back. If you're just now joining us, you're listening to Power Trading Radio with Christopher Crum and
Matt McGraw.
Let you say your own name this time, so that was special. And we're talking about trading the financial markets. Matt has been going through the five, I guess, red flags that are associated with folks that probably shouldn't be trading or investing their own money in the financial markets. So we've been through four of them. Let's just recap real quick.
Yeah, so just to recap, you do need to have basic computer skills. Again, you don't need IT skills, but you do need to know how to use a computer. You know, be familiar with the Windows environment and be able to turn a machine on. We teach you how to use the trade software, but they assume you can turn a machine on.
Right, and drive the mouse.
And drive the mouse, right. You need to have the money to trade a minimum of at least $2,000 to trade the cheapest asset class, which is Forex currencies.
But also the largest market, $5.2 trillion. Change. I mean, it's not a slouchy way to start.
You know, that's a good point. When I revise students' trade plans, oftentimes they'll say the reason that they've chosen to trade Forex is that's the cheapest asset class to trade. But, you know, even if you have $1 million to trade with, many students still choose to trade Forex. It's one of the best things that you can trade if your goal is income. So these amounts that you have to have with each asset class have nothing to do with what's better to trade. Stock's the most expensive one. You have to have $25,000, but in my opinion, it's the absolute worst asset class to trade. It has a whole host of issues.
Right.
But you do need to have at least $2,000 if you want to trade. The next thing you need is the time to trade. Again, a distraction-free block of time during the daytime or during the evening where you can remain focused for about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then in the last segment we were talking about, you need to have some sense of emotional discipline if you're going to watch your trades live throughout the day.
Right.
Again, if you are emotional, like Chris and I, you can still trade, but you need to be set and forget. That means you set your four trades up on autopilot, walk away from it, and wait until the end of the day to be alerted to see how you did.
Yeah, your brokerage software, you can tell it what to buy and sell, what prices to buy and sell it at,
yeah,
and it'll buy and sell
it
for
all
you.
It's done automatically. And by the way, that's the way they do it on Wall Street, which is, again, the only place that makes money trading.
There's that pretty Tilly Allison. She's had boogie fever all week. She's been dancing. Right. We're recording this from our state-of-the-art recording studio at Online Trading Academy, and it's actually the cornerstone of our social area there, so our students just got to listen to us do the show live, and our instructor just walked by.
Yeah, it's exciting.
The best instructor in the world, I think, is Tilly Allison Harris.
Absolutely. We're very fortunate to have her here.
We are.
So the last thing, which we, before we went to break, that you need to have if you want to trade is you need to have some aptitude for trading. Okay. Now, when we say aptitude, we're not talking about, you know, you have to be a member of Mensa or something like that. You need to be able to follow a routine. And you need to be able to follow roles. You know, all the studies that have been done on trading have shown that the top four demographics for trading are very different occupations. Engineering, accounting, programming, and veterans. Four very different fields, right? But
right.
What they all have in common is they're all very good at following rules.
Right.
You know, when I came here years ago, I almost didn't even come because I thought you had to be good at math to trade. And math was always my least favorite subject in school. But I can tell you from working with 3,900 graduates here at this location, it has nothing to do with math. So I've had a guy that got a perfect score on the GMAT, the graduate mathematics exam, who went through our program, who's one of the worst traders I've ever met.
Yeah.
And I've had students that I almost didn't allow into the class because I was so concerned about the red flags they have, who showed me up. I mean, they're some of my most successful graduates because they're very good at following routines and following rules.
Right.
So when I say aptitude, again, you don't have to be really smart to do this, but you do need to be able to follow some rules.
And you don't have to be highly educated to do it. You don't have to be a college graduate.
No.
We've had tons of people that weren't college graduates. Hell, our youngest student was a third grader that graduated our futures program up in Toronto,
right,
at our Toronto Center. This was in February of 2016, I think.
And yeah.
He trades
9 years old.
Not even old enough to open up his own account, and certainly not educated to the level of a college degree. So you don't have to be overly educated to do it. If you can add and subtract, that's a plus. You know, if you could do some basic multiplication, but you don't even need to do that because you can do it on your iPhone. Pull up the calculator.
You know, I'll add, I think it helps if you have some interest in the financial markets, if you're passionate about it. You know, if you're someone who just dreads looking at any type of market report, or you can't stand watching CNBC, it bores you to death. You know, I think it's always better to get involved in something that you enjoy, that you're passionate about. I see some students who do this just for the earnings potential that really don't have any interest in the financial markets. But I think the students who do the best are ones that are really passionate about it. You know, I look forward to trading each day. I think it's very fun. I enjoy trading futures.
So, you know, you bring up an interesting point, and that is the word passion or enthusiasm for something, and for learning something or doing something. So what causes that in a person? And, you know, I'm a person that I was very successful in my career. I've been in education my entire life, and I was making a ton of money. And so why did I ever want to learn how to do it? And the truth is I didn't. I did not want to learn how to,
right.
I did not want to learn how to invest or trade in the markets. But, you know, 48 years old, pushing 50, 2008 rolls around, and I see half of my life savings disappear in 1 year. In 1 year, I lost half my life savings. And I just thought, you know what? What's the deal here? There's got to be a better way. We got to put our money somewhere else other than these 401k mutual fund buy and hold investments. Letting Wall Street manage this for me is a disaster. And I got on the internet and I was trying to figure it out. Well, what can I do differently? Or what can I put my money in that's not going to go away if the markets go down? And I ran across an article about Goldman Sachs. This is the first quarter of 2009.
Right.
And after Berkshire Hathaway bailed Goldman Sachs out with the mortgage crisis stuff, Goldman Sachs went ahead and went back out in the markets with their mountains of money, and they brought in $9 billion in profit. And I'm like, what the hell? If they're willing to do it for themselves, why aren't they going to do it for me? Now, you guys, if you've been listening to the show all day today, you hear during the commercial breaks when I give away these workshops, one of those commercials says, you ever wonder what happened to that money that you lost in 2008? And then, you know, Goldman Sachs made $9 billion. The truth is, Wall Street wants you to remain uneducated. Well, why? It's because Wall Street knows how to make money in the markets when they go down. They make more money in the markets when the markets go down.
Yeah.
And you know what? Successful trading investing is simply the transfer of money from somebody's account into somebody else's account.
Yeah.
Typically, the money that the owner of the account that is being transferred from is somebody that doesn't know what they're doing.
Exactly.
And the money goes into the account of the person that does know what they're doing, or the company, or the bank, or the insurance company that's trading live on the markets.
That's a good point you make, Chris, and I think a lot of people don't realize this, that trading is a zero-sum game. In other words, when you make money on a trade, there's someone on the other side of the exchange who lost that money. We cannot all be winners in the marketplace. And again, the only ones who consistently make money trading are the banks on Wall Street and the select retail traders who choose to get educated, who use the same tools that they do on Wall Street.
Right, absolutely. So if you want to be successful, you know what? Trade with the people, not against them. Don't compete against the people that are successful in the markets.
No.
And the people that are successful in the markets are the banks and institutions, because they pull out millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in a day. And then there's the retail trading community. These are people that funded an E-Trade account. They decided to choose the E-Trade account because they saw the guy in the boat commercial, and they think the dumbest kid in high school can buy a yacht if they just have an E-Trade account. And then they just fund their account and they try some things. And those are the people you want to compete against, because guess what? They're the ones that don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And if you know what you're doing, you have such a huge advantage over those people.
Yes.
And that's the money you're going to transfer into your account, those retail traders. Hey, you know what? As we approach the end of our show, I'm going to kind of switch gears here a little bit and talk about something that, well, has affected me recently, if that's okay with you, man.
Sure.
And, last week, or the week before last, on a Friday, a good friend of mine, known this guy for 20, 25 years. My wife and his wife are very good friends. That's how I met him. And this is a guy that would walk into the room and smile and was cheerful and always enthusiastic and happy to meet people. And he just made you feel better about yourself mm-hmm. all of the time. So he walked into a grocery store because their children and grandchildren were coming over and they're going to have dinner that night. So he was doing some grocery shopping. And he made it as far as the little cafe area in the grocery store. And the surveillance footage on the video camera from the grocery store showed him walk over to a table, and he clutched his chest, and he just died from a heart attack.
Wow.
And it's been just heart-wrenching just for our family, but feeling for our friend,
right.
You know, who lost her husband in this way and was so unexpected. And, you know, the guy was only 48 years old.
Wow.
And, you know, I cannot tell you how important it is, folks. You know, no matter how much money you make, I've gone from rags to riches. Matt has too, but your health is the most important thing.
Right.
If you don't go get a yearly checkup every year, go to a cardiologist, and get the colonoscopy when you need to, the breast exam, then man, you know what? We got a great healthcare system in this country. You've just got to go do it. So I implore you. But I want to just say RIP, my friend, Scott Workman.
I'm sorry.
Certainly miss you. Hey, listen, we are at the end of our show. Thank you for listening today, by the way. I forgot to mention that. So if you want to check us out on the web, you can find us at tradingacademy.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/OTAKC. On behalf of our producer, Matt Roberts, my good friend and co-host, Matt McGrath, I'm Christopher Crum. So long.
The preceding program was sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.